About you, but I can say I've been blessed this morning. Amen. I want you to turn to your Bibles to the most beloved passages of Scripture found anywhere in the pages of God's Word, and that's Psalm 23, probably one of the best known, best loved passages of Scripture in the Bible. Psalm 23, many of you can quote it by heart. You could stand up and you could begin, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and make your way through the six verses that make up this wonderful portion of Scripture. If you don't have a Bible this morning, the words of this great psalm will be on your screen, and you can follow along with us. And look, if you would, Psalm 23. The Bible tells us it was written by a man by the name of King David. David was a shepherd in his formative years. God would make him a shepherd king of the nation of Israel. And so Psalm 23 is a shepherd psalm who is written about a shepherd by a shepherd. And so David was very intimately involved in that relationship of a shepherd with his sheep. And the Holy Spirit uses that experience in his life to help us to understand our relationship with our God. Let's begin reading verse number 1. The Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What wonderful words. What wonderful truth. And we want to look at it together this morning. As we look in the pages of the Word of God, it was interesting that there was a missionary in the mountains of Turkey, and he had gathered a group of Turkish shepherds together to read the Bible to him. It was a cold night, and as they sat around a fire, the missionary read from John chapter 10, another shepherd passage in the Bible that talked about the good shepherd, who we know to be the Lord Jesus, the thief, the hireling, the sheep, and the door of the sheepfold. And then as he was reading, one of the shepherds said, "Oh, sir, is that in the gospel?" And the missionary said, "Yes, it's in the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to the Apostle John." And the shepherd said, "Oh," he said, "I didn't know that the Bible was a sheep book." And you know, truly, the Bible is a sheep book. As you read through the Bible casually, you'll find that sheep and shepherds and lambs and flocks are mentioned nearly 700 times in the Bible. As you open the first book of the Bible, you will find that the sheep is the first animal that God mentions by name. Abel was a keeper of sheep. The last time it's mentioned in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17 in reference to the Lord Jesus, where the Bible said the lamb which is in the midst of the throne, He shall feed and live them and lead them into fountains of living waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Aren't you glad that there's coming a day when all the tears for the children of God are going to be gone? Isn't that a wonderful truth? And our Lamb, the Lord Jesus, is going to wipe them away. It's interesting that when God wants to describe the special relationship that He has with His people, more than any other description, He uses the precious bond that a shepherd has with his sheep. And that relationship is never more clearly illustrated than in Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. There the psalmist David gladly proclaims, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I'm glad that I can echo with David today, "The Lord is my shepherd." Can I remind us this morning that our God is a shepherd God? And the good news is that those who belong to Him are His sheep. The Bible said in Psalm 100 verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." God is a shepherd God, and we are His sheep. And then you come to Psalm 23. And David is one of the sheep in the Lord's pasture, joyfully declares what it means to be one of the Lord's sheep. He writes the song of the shepherd, so to speak, and we're going to look at it again this morning. Let's pray together and we'll dive right in. Father, thank You for how You've blessed us this morning. Thank You for the wonderful music. Thank You, Lord, for stirring our hearts. God, refreshing our spirits. God, putting a spring in our step today as we think about being the people of God. And what a great God, Lord, You are. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood that saves. Thank you, Lord, that sins are forgiven for those who receive Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you're my shepherd. I met you nearly 35 years ago, and Lord, you've been so faithful. You've been so good. Lord, help us to learn of you today and your work in our lives, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I think about sheep, and you know, when God compares us to sheep, now, he didn't say that people are sheep. He said we're like them, and he's not flattering us, okay? We'll see that as we work our way through this series of messages in Psalm 23, but sheep are unique little creatures. There's no other animal like them. As a matter of fact, whether it's wild animal or a domesticated animal, there's no animal like a sheep. You know, if you have a horse or a cow, a dog, cat, they can get along just fine without a master. Matter of fact, they can fend for themselves. If they needed to survive without you caring for them, they could. But when it comes to a sheep, on the other hand, they cannot live without their shepherd. As a matter of fact, they are completely dependent upon the shepherd for their survival. A sheep needs a shepherd. And may I remind us this morning, you and I need the Lord. Can I tell you, we need Him right now more than we've ever needed Him before. Isn't that good to know He's there? I want us to focus our attention. In our last message, we looked at the first part of verse number 1. This morning, as I read through these words again, I want you to focus your attention on the final four words. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Isn't that good? You see, somebody said that this was a psalm of life. He's talking about a life lived under the care of the great shepherd. And David said, "I shall not want." That word "want" means to suffer need. It literally means to be abandoned or to lack. And what David is literally saying is that because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. Well, that's a wonderful truth this morning. Do you realize that in Him, every need supplied. In Him, every need met. Do you realize it's already met before you know you had it? I want to tell you why we'll not lack this morning. First of all, because we have a personal shepherd. We have a personal shepherd. Notice David said in the opening words, "The Lord is my shepherd." I want to draw your attention to the two words, "the Lord," that we looked at last week. We learned that is the personal name for God. It's the Hebrew name Yahweh, or in English, Jehovah. It's translated all capital letters in our English Bible, "Lord." He's the Lord. It is a name so sacred, so holy, so pure, so high that Jewish priests would only pronounce it one time a year. That was inside the holiest of holies in the temple there on the great Day of Atonement. It was there that he would utter that great, precious, holy name of God. The Jewish people considered that name too high and too holy to be spoken by human lips. That's why we really don't even know how to spell it or pronounce it today. Ancient scribes, before writing this sacred name, while copying the Holy Scriptures, before they would write the name Jehovah or Yahweh, they would actually take a bath. They would change their clothes. They would take a new pen and a new inkwell, and they would write that blessed name. Afterward, they would take that pen and destroy it. Because once that pen had written the lofty, holy name of the Lord, it was not worthy to write another word or another name. Folks, can I tell you, the name of our God should never be taken in vain. It should never be taken in frivolity. His name is a precious name. It is a holy name. It is a high name. I'm thankful for the name of the Lord. Our shepherd's name is high, it's holy, it's precious. He's the Lord. And it comes from a word that simply means "I am." You realize that it was Moses that first learned that name at the burning bush there in the desert, where he saw the bush that burned, but yet it wasn't consumed. And there he learned great truths about God. And then David would later, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, say that this same God that was in that bush is the same God who's my shepherd. What a wonderful truth. It reminds us that my God is the self-existent one. He is the one who was never, He's the one who never had a beginning. He's the one who will never have an end. Now, I'm going to tell you, He's precious today, and He can supply my need, and I shall not want, because He never wants. Do you realize that our God never has a need? He is the uncaused one. He's the one who causes all things, but He Himself is uncaused. God creates, but He was never created. He makes, but was never made. Do you realize there was never a time when God was not, and there will never be a time when God is not? Isn't that powerful? Somebody described this relationship, the Lord. He went on to write, the Lord, the one who made the world and everything that is in it, the one who lit the taper of the sun and put the stars in their places, that's my shepherd. The one who threw a carpet of green grass upon the earth and tacked it down with beautiful flowers. The one who scooped up the valleys and piled up the hills. The one who took the song of the seraph and robed it in feathers and gave us the nightingale. The one who took the rainbow and wove it into a scarf and threw it about the shoulders of a dying storm. That's my shepherd. He went on to write, the same one who in the dawn opens the door of the morning and floods the world with light and beauty. That's my shepherd. At evening time, he pulls down the shade of night and shoots it through the sun, shoots it through with sunset fire. That's my shepherd. Can I tell you, friend, our shepherd, our God, is the eternal, self-existent, all-powerful, ever-present, sovereign God of the universe. And David said, that's my shepherd. And I've got good news for you today, friend. If you know Jesus Christ, that's your shepherd. He's the self-existent one. He's a personal shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. But not only, now catch this, is He self-existent. Here's another truth about that name, Lord, and there's many. I'm just going to share two. He's not only the self-existent one, He is the changeless one. You know why I shall not want? Because not only does God never want, but He never changes. Now, if you and I were to say to ourselves, I am. I am. Do you know what you would in turn say back to me? You're what? You would have to, can I use some bad English? Are you ready? You're am what? That's bad English, but that's the point. You know, we can never just use that simple statement, a single sentence, I am. That's it. We can never say that of ourselves. We would have to say, I'm young or old. I'm happy or sad. I'm strong or weak. There would always have to be a descriptive word added to it. However, God needs no descriptive word. Because God is, and He is what He has always been, and what He's always been, He ever will be. He never changes. The psalmist said in Psalm 102, verse 27, Thou art the same. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, For I am the Lord, I change not. Do you realize that God is never toward me one day different than He is another day? That what God is to me, He is all the time. He never changes. A man by the name of Lloyd Douglas was a novelist, a famous novelist. He attended college. He lived in a boarding house. Across the hall was a retired wheelchair-bound music professor there on the first floor. And each morning, Lloyd Douglas would stick his head in the door of the professor's apartment and he would ask the same question. He would say, Well, what's the good news today, professor? And at that moment, the old man would pick up his tuning fork. He would tap it against the side of his wheelchair and he would say, Mr. Douglas, that is middle C. It was middle C yesterday. It will be middle C tomorrow. It will be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat. The piano across the hall is out of tune. But my friend, that is middle C and it will never change. Now, I said all of that to say this. We live in a world that is filled with uncertainty and change. There's times in our life, just at the turn of a moment, can seemingly be spinning out of control. You and I need a middle C in our lives. And because the Lord is my shepherd, He is my middle C. He never changes. He is the constant in an ever-changing universe. He is my anchor. He's my rock. He's my refuge. He's my high tower. Friend, I'm glad I can run to Him and be safe today. Aren't you glad you have a middle C in your life that never changes? Because our God is unchanging, His Word is unchanging. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Men may debate it. Men may argue it. Men may seek to deny it. But friend, they cannot ultimately change it. What God said, He has forever said, and it will never be changed. Matter of fact, since God is unchanging, His Word is unchanging, His promises are unchanging. I love John 3:16. I've written a booklet about that that'll be out very soon, and about the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, there's a promise, should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what the promise of John 3:16 is? That people like you and me are loved by God so much that we can have everlasting life if we'll but believe in His Son. Friend, you know what? The moment I believed on Christ, I was saved, and that never changes because God's promises never change, because His Word never changes, because my Shepherd never changes. Let me just tell you, I want you to get it. His love for you never changes. There's times when you and I aren't what we should be, if we're honest. And we feel that maybe somehow God loves me less than what He did before I did or thought or said what I said. Can I tell you, friend, that's not true. You'll never do anything to cause God to stop loving you. And He'll love you with all the power and all the love and all the might that He has within Him all the time. Because if God ever loved you one degree less, or ever loved you one degree more, He would cease to be God, because He never changes. That means His love never changes. His care is unchanging. My Shepherd never changes. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And He's my Shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. Number two, not only is He a personal Shepherd, He is a present Shepherd. A present Shepherd. Look, if you would, again in Psalm 23. The Lord is... That word is such a precious word. It's in the present tense. That means He is right now my Shepherd. We've learned that He's a personal Shepherd, but He's also a present Shepherd. He's my Shepherd. But then I want you to look at verse number 2. You're going to see the pronouns change. He maketh me. He leadeth me. It turns from my to He and me. It's a relationship. It's a present relationship. The word shepherd means that He simply tends the flock, and it describes the continual, passionate care of our great Shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Verse 1 tells me who my Shepherd is. Verses 2 through 6 tells me what He does. See, it just flows out of the very theme of the psalm. See, David makes a statement of fact in verse number 1. The Lord's my Shepherd, I shall not want. And then everything that my Shepherd is to me as one of His sheep is borne out through verses 2 through 6. Aren't you glad that this is not something you will do or has done, but what He's doing for you and me right now, and He's doing it all the time. Don't ever forget that. You'll need to remember that when we come to the end of the message today. What does that tell me, preacher? It tells me that He is for me. He's for me. Let me share some thoughts with you. Verse 2, He is leading the sheep to the green pastures and to the still waters where they find peace and contentment and rest. In verse 3, He's for me again. He's correcting their wanderings. He's attending their hurts. He's leading them down the right pathways. Verse 4, He's helping His sheep through the rough and dangerous patches of life. And they don't need to fear any calamity. Why? Because He's with us. He'll comfort us. Verse 5, there's a banqueting table on the high mountain plateaus, and it's there that the sheep are safe from their enemies. It's there that they are having the joy in the sense that he's anointing their head with oil, and their cup is running over. Aren't you glad as the children of God? He doesn't just fill our cup up, friend. It runs over and we can spill. Hey, listen, you ought to be so happy in Jesus that on Monday your life spills out into the lives of other people of what God is. Hey, because He's your Shepherd today. By the way, if you ever grasp hold of the fact that He's your Shepherd, you'll have victory. Verse 6, the sheep are being guarded by their constant companions of the sheepdogs of God's mercy and grace, and they'll dwell safely forever with their Shepherd in the house of the Lord. He is for me. Romans 8, though everyone be against me, I can be assured God is for me. And if God is for me, friend, pray tell me, what can be against me? He's for me. But not only is He for me, I want you to watch something. I want you to watch how a change takes place. He's with me. He and me. He and me. He and my. But now look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art, underline it, with me. That's powerful, isn't it? My shepherd not only watches over me, He is walking with me. There's never a time my shepherd's not with me. David is describing, as you read this passage, understand the imagery, the canvas that he's painting before our minds. He's describing the journey or the happenings of life through the eyes of a sheep as they make their way from the sheepfold to the mountain meadows, the still waters, the high tablelands. They descend into the gorge, the dangerous rocky gorge that takes them into those high mountain meadows. But they don't fear because their shepherd is with them. And then back at night, they're safely in the sheepfold where they'll dwell forever. Do you see the picture? It's a picture of life. I used to think that David wrote this psalm as a young man. I really believe now that he wrote it as an old man. And he looked back over his life and he began to talk about his shepherd and how he cared for him every step of the way. Now we'll know when we get to heaven whether it was young, middle-aged, or old, but I would like to think that he's looking back over his life as one of the Lord's sheep and he's wanted to say, you know what, the Lord is my shepherd. I have never wanted and I will never want because You're with me. You're with me. You know what, when we journey into the rich green meadows and drink from the still waters, we enjoy His presence. But yet when we can rest assured that if we pass through a dark, difficult valley, the Lord will be there to experience His comfort. There's never a moment when our shepherd is not with us. When I get the call of bad news, the shepherd's with me. When I descend into the valley of sickness, the shepherd's with me. When I go through the dark times of stress and pressure and hardship and problems that come our way, my shepherd's with me. When we face the valley of the shadow of death, praise God, our shepherd is with us. Not only can I say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because He's a personal shepherd. Not only because He is a present shepherd. Thirdly and finally, He is a providing shepherd. Notice here He's speaking of the provision of the Lord. I shall not want. Christian, as you work your way through the Bible, you will find verse after verse after verse that lets us know that God cares for us. And because God cares for us, He meets the needs of life. And David is magnifying the One who's provided every need of his life. Okay? He is telling us that because our God is the Lord, because our shepherd is the Lord, because He's the self-existent One, He is the unchanging One, He is the all-sufficient One, I will not lack anything. He said, I was young in the Psalm 37. I was young and now I'm old, but yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You know, He's saying God takes care of those who belong to Him. Jesus will put it this way. He'll say that we're not to take anxious care. He said we're not to worry ourselves. We're not to be careful. That's our Lord's word, careful. That means to be anxious or worried about the many things of life. What we're going to eat, what we're going to put on, what kind of house we're going to live in, the basic necessities of life. For our Heavenly Father knows that we have need of these things. Isn't that what He said? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We hear our Lord, but we don't believe Him because we fret and worry and we're torn out of frame worrying about all these things. God knows your need. He does. I'm wanting to begin to practice Psalm 23, not just know it. He's a sufficient shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, David said, I shall not lack anything. Philippians 4:19, one of the great promises of the Bible. And my God, Paul says, shall supply all, not some, not part, not most, but all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful verse that every Christian ought to know. Now let me help you again. This verse doesn't say God will give me everything I want. There's a vast difference between want and need. Okay? The word want in this verse doesn't mean to desire something. It means to lack something. And he's saying, I shall not want or lack because the Lord is my shepherd. He does not say that He will give me everything I want, but He does say He will supply everything I need. Now, let me help you understand something. Do you realize that most of our greatest needs don't have a price tag on them? They have the commercial, you know, and it'll show the event and heartwarming event, whatever it is, and it'll say, for everything else, there's MasterCard. Well, let me just tell you, there's things MasterCard can't buy you. Just can't. Oftentimes, our greatest needs are not physical. They're spiritual. And as an all-sufficient God, as my shepherd, He has promised, I shall not want or lack my needs, both physical and spiritual. God meets all the needs. My God shall supply all your need. Okay? Our big problem is differentiating between the want and the need, right? But God said, when it comes down to your needs, they're met. Well, wait a minute, I don't know what I need yet. Is the Lord your shepherd? They're met. Done. Didn't say, I might lack anything. Didn't say, I could lack anything. Didn't say, I may lack anything. He said, I shall not lack anything. That's a big difference. In those words, I shall not want, not only do I see a sufficient shepherd, but I see a satisfied sheep. Matter of fact, the very next verse is like a canvas. If we had a picture and we were seeing a mountain meadow, and here's a still pond right here beside of it, okay? And there are sheep lying all around. It's a beautiful, serene picture of peace and tranquility and quiet and rest, isn't it? All of us are saying, I want to be there. You can be. And it may not be a mountain meadow, and it may not be a still pool of water. It may be that the storm is swirling around you, but yet you might as well be in a green mountain and a still pool of water because your shepherd is caring for you. And He can give me rest even in the midst of the storm. David's simply saying, there is no lack in my life. Here's what I would write out in my notes or right beside that verse. All right, you ready for it? Every need supplied. Period. Period. I shall not want. Why? Because His riches are unsearchable. I shall not want. Why? Because His joy is unspeakable. I shall not want. Why? Because His power is unlimited. I shall not want. Why? Because His faithfulness is unfailing. I shall not want. Why? Because His Word is unshakable. I shall not want. Why? Because His love is unchanging. Because the Lord is your shepherd, somebody wrote, you have a God who hears you. The power of love behind you. The Holy Spirit within you and all of heaven ahead of you. If you have the shepherd, you have grace for every sin, direction for every turn, a candle for every corner, and an anchor for every storm. You have everything you need. I jotted down underneath this, all of this, and heaven too. It doesn't get any better than that. He is a personal shepherd. He is a present shepherd. He is a providing shepherd. Isn't that wonderful? Now we've come to the point of decision. If I were to ask this question, do you know Psalm 23? Probably the majority of the people in this room would nod your head in the affirmative, and many of you could quote it. Every one of us would probably say yes. I'm going to ask you a different question. Are you ready? Do you believe it? Didn't ask you if you know it. Do you believe it? Do you believe the Lord is your shepherd? Because if the Lord is truly your shepherd, you shall not want. There is where the victory lies. When I come down to the rubber, where the rubber meets the road in life, I have to make a determination in my heart. Is the Lord my shepherd? Yes. Shall I want? No. Then He has it. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to wrestle with it. He's got it. Amen. You ever as a parent said to, or a husband to, or whatever, and say to somebody, listen, don't worry, I've got this. I've got it. Well, you know what? I can still worry. Because it doesn't matter whether you got it or I got it. Sometimes we still don't have it, right? But when our Savior has it, it's as good as done. That truth has changed my life as a Christian. I've been saved for 35 years. My life changed this week from Psalm 23, verse 1. I've got more peace in my heart right now than I've ever had before. I've got more comfort than I've ever had before. I was leaving my driveway this morning, meditating on these verses, and it was almost as if God was saying, I've got this. It's under control. I'm your shepherd. You never find the sheep questioning the ability of the shepherd. But yet we question whether or not God has it. When our lives are flying apart, when it seems like things are not going our way, when it seems like that we're standing around a hospital bed with hard decisions to be made, we're saying, God, do you really have this? And God's saying, I have it. It doesn't always mean that everything in my life is going to turn out exactly the way I want it. But it will be the best for me because my shepherd has it. And I have to learn to trust Him with that. There's where the victory lies. There's where the battle is of whether or not we're going to trust the Savior and live out, not just recite it, not just memorize it, not just know it, but whether or not we're going to live out the victory and the truth of Psalm 23 in our daily lives. I challenge you this week, Christian. Jot Psalm 23 verse 1 down on a 3x5 card. Put it on something on your phone and ponder it. Let its truth soak into your heart. Get to know your shepherd. Realize who your God is and understand that what David come to grips and understood in his life, that because the Lord is his shepherd, every need supplied. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. I don't have to live in a world of anxiety because the Lord is my shepherd. Today. Hallelujah. This is not a promise to claim. This is a fact to be experienced. Christian, I'm asking you again. I'm not asking you this morning, do you know Psalm 23? I'm asking you, do you believe it? If you believe it this morning, then whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, you can bring it to your shepherd. You can talk to Him about it. You can trust Him. He is faithful. Amen. He has it. That's why He tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace, to share our heart with Him, to find mercy, God's sympathy and care for what I'm going through, and grace to help, to strengthen me, to enable me in time of need. Aren't you glad that God didn't spell out that need? Because everybody's needs are different. We have several hundred people in this auditorium this morning. And every person in this room, you have a different need. But if the Lord's your shepherd, He's met that need. That's the truth. Not He can meet it. He has met it. I just may not have realized it yet. That's the truth of it. That's the power of Psalm 23. Christian, are you ready to bring it to your shepherd this morning? Are you ready to bow humbly before Him and say, Lord, I've not trusted You. Lord, I've questioned whether or not You have this thing. Just the worry in my heart is evidence that my faith isn't strong. Because fear and faith and worry and trust don't go together. And I got a choice. Am I going to worry about it, or am I going to give it to Him and trust Him and depend on Him and watch Him work? That doesn't mean that there's not times of anxiety. Doesn't mean there's not times of pressure. Doesn't mean that. But it means in the midst of all of it, I can rest simply in the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. He will be sufficient. He is. Now, not will be. He is. That's what I'm trying to get my, changing my language. He is sufficient. And He's able. I want to invite you this morning, Christian, to your shepherd. I don't know what's going on in your marriage. I don't know what's going on in your family. I don't know what's going on in your finances. I don't know what's going on in your life, your health, your emotional. I don't know, but God does. And if He's your shepherd, He's the answer today. I'm going to invite you to bring it to Him. Commit yourself to Him. Depend on Him. Trust Him. Live out the truth of this psalm in your life. And dear friend, this morning, listen to me carefully. Can you honestly say, the Lord is my shepherd? Or would you have to say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'd like for Him to be my shepherd. I'd like to know that I know Him. I'd like to know if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I don't know that I would. Friend, you know what? God describes a person who doesn't know Him as a sheep not having a shepherd. It broke His heart. He wants to be your shepherd today. He died for you. He shed His blood for you. He paid the sin debt that you owe. He was buried. He rose again. The good shepherd gave His life for the sheep. He died for sinners. But He lives for the saints. Christian, He invites you to come. Friend, He invites you to come to Him today if you're not saved, to trust Him as Savior. He can be your shepherd today. I invite you to come. There'll be men at the end of each of these aisles. Just whisper in one of them's ears, if I died today, or if you died today and you're not sure, just whisper, I'm not sure, or I want to be sure, or I want somebody to help me to be sure. And somebody will help you to come to know the shepherd. Every head will be bowed. Every eye will be closed. God is inviting you to come to Him today so that you can be His sheep and He can be your shepherd. I invite you to come. Let's bow our heads in prayer.